This program was first broadcast on Toro Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Kelvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program tonight, and we've been going through a series of 26 lessons on exploring the Bible. You can find this on Further. You can log on to www.findthelight.org, or you can get these programs on www.accessradio.org. I'm Kelvin Lyon, RD2 Waitati, 9085 New Zealand, and or you can get me on the phone at 03-4822-698. It is our position to, as we've been going through exploring the Bible, is to let people really know and understand what is in this wonderful book, the Holy Bible. We've gone through all these lessons, as I said, 26, but we've had a night or two on other different things as we've been going through. And we found it interesting, and I found it very informative on some new things that we've been talking about and looking into. So tonight, we've actually nearly come to the end of our series, and what we're dealing with tonight is the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus said, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. So therefore we thought we'd put a few of these together and see the word and see what he's really meaning by in them, and what is the requirements of a person in following Christ. What does the Lord require of us? I've got a whole list here, but I'm just going to go through them. We'll just talk generally on them as we go through them from the scriptures. Because we've got to remember that this Holy Bible is the Holy Spirit Word of God. It is every page, every word, every verse is for our benefit. The Lord did not have to put that there for us. And the more you grow to read that word and to love the word, you'll see how it compares scripture with scripture, how the divineness and the history that's in it, the plan that God has for salvation, is truly unbelievable, and it cannot be anywhere else but by divine inspiration. And one of the hardest things is, number one on our commandment list we've got here is to love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. That is a hard calling, isn't it? But we remember the Lord when he was taken into custody, when he was tried, when he was put on that terrible cross, when he was crucified. He never showed any hate. Never showed any hate. He had humility. And that is what he wants us to do. Resist not evil. If a man smite thee on the cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus spoke about that in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, on the way we should live, and which are, these are hard things. Our human nature at every turn would have us to resist these instructions of Jesus at every way. But we're called, the gossip, called out of the world to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know his way, and to prepare ourselves for a coming age. Therefore, he's asked us some hard things, and sometimes we will not always bear up with them. That is right, but we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we sin. We are told that. So, and he has walked before us, and if we walk in his way, he is there to help us. Right, number three, avenge not yourselves. Rather give place unto wrath, and suffer yourself to be defrauded. I take the example in this sometimes, if you're a child and you're playing ball, and your ball goes over the fence into the neighbor's next door, and he refuses to throw it back. You ask him for it, but suffer yourself to be defrauded if he doesn't. But if we're following truly in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his ball comes into our patch, we know what we are required to do, is to throw that ball back. Now, some of these things are against human nature's first instinct, but therefore, if we've changed our allegiance to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and not human nature, not mankind. We'll be conscious of these things at every turn, and we'll make good servants of Christ if we take his advice. Number four, if a man take away thy goods, ask them not again. Remember he used the example then, if he takes your coat, give me a cloak also. I don't think he means just to give them up exactly. If he takes them away your goods, ask them not again. Well, I suppose you ask them maybe once, or maybe suggest that they shouldn't take them, but you don't really have the authority to do anything more than that. You can't go and beat them up or anything like that. We're to resist evil. And then he says, and Jesus tells us also on the same Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:25, to agree with your adversary quickly, submitting even for wrong for the sake of peace. And that's a hard thing, isn't it? Sometimes you're better to agree with your adversary, because you're not going to get anywhere, you're not going to change anything. Just submit even for wrong's sake and move on. Other people will see not weakness, it's a meekness, it's not a weakness. You don't have to be strong with human nature and go and demand this and demand that. No, because this is not our kingdom in this world. This is the kingdoms of men. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised us a kingdom where we will have power, we will have control, we will have law and order, but justly. Then he says, labor not to be rich. Be ready to every good work, give to those who ask, relieve the afflicted. Now you find this in 1 Timothy 6-8 and Romans 12:13 and James, which is a brother of the Lord Jesus, 1:27. Don't spend all your time for labouring for those things which are you're not going to. Well, he says, build up your treasures in heaven, not on earth, where moth and worm destroy. Think upon the real things in life. I know we like to be a bit sometimes a foot in each camp here, but that's probably our human nature, one of our weaknesses. But not labour to be. I mean, Abraham was very rich. David was rich. A lot of these old faithful people were very rich, but they had their priorities right. And I think that's what he's meaning. Make sure you've got your priorities right. And if you happen to have a little bit more than someone else, you're ready to help others, not to squander it for your own good. Do not your alms before men. Let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. Don't deliberately do these things to make it look like you're pious and you're more just or anything like that. Just be normal without trying to look for glory and things. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Well, we know simply what that means, and Paul's telling the Romans this in Romans 12:17, is to not to recompense to no man evil for evil. If someone's done you wrong, don't go and do him wrong. You know the old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. Overcome evil with good. In other words, that's submitting to your adversaries. That's helping your adversaries. Not trying to be smart and smile on their face. That doesn't really isn't what it's expected. But it's to show goodness, show the quality of Christ. Always mirror him as you in your life. And here's another one he says in the Beatitudes. Bless them that curse you. Let no cursing come out of your mouth. So if people curse you because you are perhaps doing better than them, or something else has upset them, perhaps the hail or something bad came upon them and not on you, just help them. Don't curse them. No cursing come out of your mouth. Render not evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. It's all a humility of mind, a humility of attitude, humility of deed. And every turn is what Jesus asks us to do. And these are not always easy things. We might be under stress. We might not be able to feel happy about doing some of these things at the time. But that doesn't mean it condemns us. We have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in Matthew 5, pray for them that despitefully use you and afflict you. Now, if you think upon that there, You're praying for them that despitefully use you, and you're also praying for God's guidance and strength to help you overcome and to do what would be right and proper to do. And if you're keeping that attitude in mind, you will have reward in that way. Grudge not, judge not, complain not, and condemn not. Jesus says that in Matthew 7 verse 1 and also James at 5, 9. Don't bear grudge and judge and complain all the time. Condemn not. Put away anger, wrath and bitterness and all evil speaking. And Paul tells the Ephesians. See, because if you're angry and bitter and evil and things like that, speaking of other people, where does that put you? It's really telling a lot about you, isn't it? More than telling about them. And also, we've got to confess your faults one to another. James 5:16 tells us. Now, that is an extremely hard one. Sometimes we haven't had a good day, things haven't been right. To confess your faults one to another is a very humbling thing. We should endeavor to try to do this. God knows our faults all the time. We're not going to hide anything from Him. But He asks us to confess them to one another. There's several benefits in that. It can show the other person that, well, maybe they have a fault and they may want to come too and confess their faults before you. But because you weren't saying much, they didn't want to say much. But then it opens things out. Doesn't hide things. Be not conformed to this world. Love not the world. Now that would come under the same one as labor not to be rich. See, if we love this world and love all the things that are in it, we're hardly loving the Lord Jesus Christ too. He came into this world to save this world, to save those come out of the world and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. This world is a world of sin and death. And Jesus Christ came as an advocate, a redeemer, to redeem us from the way of sin and death. Therefore, as we associate our lives with Him and the commandments He's given us, we know in ourselves we're not part of the world. So therefore, keep that distance. But keep it to an extent that you can include other people and help other people. Deny all ungodliness and worldly lusts. So there you go, love not the world, keep away from the worldly lusts. We don't need to list what the worldly lusts are. We know what human nature can make us greedy, it can make us envious, it can make us jealous, it can cause us to be selfish, think of ourselves more than other people. So we've got to deny that ungodliness attitude and think on the good side, on godliness, which is helping, caring, doing what is right. And therefore people will probably think, well, why is he doing this? Why has he got this better or more fitting nature that fits with people? Servants, be faithful even to bad masters. See, if you're a servant to a master, you're benevolent to him. You require that work with the master. Therefore, be faithful, he says. Do your pound of flesh, do your work, and even to bad masters. Even if some treat you not good, that doesn't give you a right to not work hard for them. It's the same as the old ball over the fence business. The Bible is a list of instructions, of commandments. After someone has found the Bible to be completely accurate and true, and they've dedicated their life to following the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore we're to be out and be separate from the world. And therefore, we must live according to the codes that are in this Bible that we're talking about tonight. Servants, be faithful. People in the world don't have to be faithful, and unless they feel that way inclined. But we feel that way inclined because we have to be, because we know we're serving a master that requires a very high standard. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. What he's meaning there is, don't just mind the high things, but come down to poorer people's demeanour and situation and help them. Condescend to them, lower state, and help them, and don't be aloof to these people. Owe no man anything. Well, that's a very hard one, and we do chew this over in our mind quite often, to owe no man anything. That's what Paul tells the Romans. Because if you're owing something to someone, you're sort of indebted to them. You're bound by some of the things they might want you to do and that. So you'd better to be separate from a lot of these things. I know a lot of people will have a loan of money, perhaps for a car or a house or things like this. It's in a banking situation. We haven't always felt that's quite in the same line as owing a person something that is you're tied to every rule and regulation that they can have you under. Because they can get you into a situation that find it very hard to follow Christ in his way. In case of sin known or heard of, speak not of it to others, but tell the offending brother the matter between thee and him alone with a view to recovery. So, that's a lot in that. Let's read it again. In case of sin known or heard of, I guess it's from someone else, that's what it's meaning, speak not of it to others, but tell the offending brother of the matter between thee and him alone with a view to recovery. That's what Jesus is telling in chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 15, and Galatians, Paul to the Galatians, at chapter 6, verse 1. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Jesus says in Matthew 22:37. With all thy heart. Not just a little bit here and there, but love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Loving is understanding and believing and realizing the grace that has come from God in our lives to show us how we can be redeemed in Jesus and to show us that this word is a living word in our hands, showing us the many things that are happening in the world leading up to the return of Jesus, when he'll come and take the faithful ones to reign with him. We pray that we're in that group, that we can be called with the faithful ones to reign with him. And he says also, Jesus says, pray always. Pray with brevity and simplicity. Pray secretly. You know, he says go into a locker or a wardrobe or a place. Pray so you're not making a big show in front of other people, but you're doing things privately between you, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the creator, and Jesus is a mediator between mankind and God. With brevity, he says too, didn't he? Don't make big, long speeches of prayers. And keep them simple. Keep the words simple. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's praise and glory to the mighty God. Thy kingdom come. That's the kingdom to come. Thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whereas obviously there's peace and order and prosperity, or prosperity in a way of equality, I'm meaning. Equal. No power over one another like we have today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Through Jesus. Go through those words of that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and work on those in different ways to see how they affect into your life and your relationship with God. That's an example. And everything, give thanks to God and recognize him in all your ways. That's right. I know I've been guilty of it myself. When we go to think about doing something, we should be saying, God willing. Have that always in your mind. Don't be proud and confident that you're always going to be able to do exactly what you want to do. Be thankful and recognize God in all your ways. That's in Ephesians 5:20 and Proverbs 3:6. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Remember Jesus said that in Matthew 7 verse 12. We should use that as an example. I mean, we like people to treat us fairly, so why shouldn't we treat them fairly? Take Christ, for example, and follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. That's exactly right. If we use Jesus Christ as our example, he walked the path before us. He's our high priest and mediator. If we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going down that narrow path that would lead to eternal life. Narrow is the way that leads there. Wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. Let Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Now, faith is believing in those things so assuredly that we feel them in our heart. And if we let Christ dwell in our heart, we'll be thinking of doing those things that are pleasing to Christ, knowing he is with us and helping us, and that he will return, and we will have a sure place in that kingdom. Esteem Christ more highly than all earthly things, yea, than your own life. Yes, he says that. That's in Luke 14:26. He also says there, though, to esteem him higher than wife, husband, father, mother, all these things. We must always compare what people would ask us to do, parents would ask us to do, what people expect of other people to do. Is it contrary to what Christ would like us to do? We have to make a decision. And then, the same as Peter and John said, we cannot preach but the things which we have seen and heard. They were so, their faith was so convinced in that way that that's why they went and spoke the word. Esteem Christ more highly than all earthly things, than your own life. So we've got to put him right above everything else. Confess Christ freely before men. Luke 12:8. And that is not easy in this day and age. It is not. You sort of have that sense, you know, in the back of your mind that, uh-oh, they're not going to like this much. They're going to think you're a bit funny, you're a bit off the beam or something like that. So many people were like that today. In this country, it's so sad that people confessing the Bible, confessing Christ, is so few compared to the likes of the United States of America, Australia, and many other nations. It's something that's strange in this country, but it is true, and we feel that. And we've got to combat these things and work on them. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone that believeth and is baptized. The same shall be saved. Well, our time is ticking on. So what must we do then? We've got to acknowledge those commandments. We have to do our best for them. But we have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ when we slip up or when we confess our sins and things. So we've come to the end of our journey through the Bible, using these notes as our guide. Our course has taken us from the creation through to the days of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. That plan of salvation has come through right from the fall of Adam. Redemption was shown there by God when he said that there would, in Genesis 3:15, that one was promised. I'll read that verse out for you. 3:15, not long after the fall of Adam, he says there, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, man and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the serpent, sorry. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between the seed, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That's a fatal bruise on the head of the serpent. But he would bruise thee on the heel. That was the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. It did not hold him in the grave because he did no sin. In our journey, we've seen how sin entered into the world, bringing death to Adam and all his descendants. You have also marveled at the way that God in his wisdom and mercy has provided the basis for forgiveness of sin through the redemption and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we have not only followed the history of the Bible and the lessons that were taught therein, but we have also seen how that God, through his prophets, has revealed his glorious purpose to establish the kingdom on this earth, under the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is in a terrible state of affairs, but the scriptures speak of it and tell us that at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a time of trouble such as never was ever since there was a nation. Jesus speaks about his coming, about his second coming, when he's asked by his apostles, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And he spoke of Lot, and he spoke of those times too, that they were, and we know what the history records about Noah's time and Lot's time. We have the Apostle Peter talking about the those people that are suffering, and where is it? In 2 Peter 3, I think it is. I've got to read that verse for you. I've just thought I had it in the back of my head, but I've just lost it for a wee minute there. 2 Peter 3, he says there, "The second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir you up pure mind, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there will come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were unto the from the beginning of creation." And he says, "But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." That's the political world that we're in. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." This is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to set up that kingdom on this earth. Oh, we're getting on through time here. We've got not very much longer to go. But the question is, what shall we do? And as the apostles said, for Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. The Apostle Peter asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was direct and unmistakable: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Remember in the first in Corinthians it tells us there was, or in the Acts 2, there's 3,000 people that believed in those days. They were so motivated that they received his word and were baptized. A similar question was asked of Paul by the jailer at Philippi. The jailer asked, "What shall I do to be saved?" This is the most pertinent question facing everyone who comes to the realization that man is mortal and we're all sinners. He straightway acted, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." The issues set before you are of the utmost importance to you and your family. I think you owe it to yourselves to check these things out. We are indeed in the latter days, referring to the Bible, from the Bible terms. It's the time of the end. The day of the Lord is near. We've seen this terrible struggle that is happening in the places like Gaza, in the Congo, in different places throughout the world. The suffering is terrific. And there's going to be just as more suffering probably through this economic crisis. The number of people in the United States that are losing jobs. The numbers of people in China that are losing their jobs. So much are losing their jobs in so many places around the world. And it's going to make it a critical time. Yet we're told that when Israel is back in the land, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to save not only them, to show them that he's a Savior, but also to bury those nations that would come upon his people in the land of Israel. Please read Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11, the last part of 11 and 12, Zechariah 14, Zechariah 12, and the Lord Jesus Christ about his second coming. Anyway, we thank you for listening. We'll be starting a new series on this subject in a few weeks, but we might just have one or two interluding ones on prophecy, on the last days, to help us and to show us just what things are really happening in the world from this and aligning with the scriptures in these last days. So there you are. I gave you the Christadelphian Bible Truth, Exploring the Bible. Find, log on to www.findthelight.org or www.accessradio.org. Good night, I'm Kelvin Lyon. God bless you in your work. Thank you.
This program was first broadcast on Torah Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.